You ever play church? When I was growing up, my brother and I was always in the audience. I was his audience. And we had Kool-Aid and saltine crackers. We went through the whole deal. And that's kind of how we were brought up. And some people are still playing church. We get into a rut. Somebody said the only difference between a rut and a grave is that a rut has both ends knocked out. And we get into a rut when we come to worship. And Mike, I don't want you to be hurt by this illustration, but my granddad had cows. And when he'd call them, they all find their stall. Have you been there, done that? Have you seen that? Every once in a while, one of them gets the stall mixed up. Then there was mass confusion. And sometimes we'll have a visitor at home, a family, and they'll take somebody's stall. Hey, excuse me. And one old lady said, "That's my place, could you move over?" That was my great aunt. So sometimes we can find our way here. One lady told me, said, "Just be glad I'm here." Well, I want you to be here not only physically, but mentally as well. In preparation for the service to God. We've not come to an anniversary party. We've not come to a birthday party. We've not come on holiday. We've come because we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We want to do what God said. We see a lot of athletes pounding themselves on the chest. Just pretend like you're the only one here this morning. Just me and you. Can you do that? And examine yourself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Not everybody else. He said examine yourself. You've seen the illustration. You've got one finger pointing out. How many pointing back at you? 3, examine yourself. And that's hard to do because you know your dents, you know your scratches, you know your marks. And so we need to examine ourselves as we come to worship God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, as he is scolding the scribes and the Pharisees about their traditionalism, when they were trying to get him in any way that they could. You recall that passage. When they asked the question, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Well, Jesus just unloaded on them, not in a mean, harsh way, just told them the truth. And then that familiar passage in verse 7, "You hypocrites." Can you be a hypocrite? Play acting. You are here, but you are not here for the right purpose. Your mind is somewhere else. You know you have to be here. If you're not here, then okay. The elders will be at your door. They're calling you on the phone. You need to be here because you want to be here. There's no place you'd rather be than here this morning. He said, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Let me ask you again, just you. Where is your heart? Can you, as we so often say and we pray, that the things of the outside world, we can keep them out, and that we can be focused on horses, we put blinders. If they're a race horse or a plow horse, sometimes they get distracted. You ever get distracted in worship? Me too. My dad's favorite expression since he'd been in the Army, World War II, was snap to. He saw he didn't have my attention. And he got it. He'd get my attention. If I was looking past him or through him, it didn't last. He got my attention back. So we need to focus ourselves. Mentally prepare. I remember when I was in school a few years ago, well, 50 years ago, I went up to talk to a young fella my age, and he didn't even look at me. He didn't recognize me. He heard me, but he didn't recognize I was there. You know what I recognized? He was sitting about right here. He was preparing to worship. It was just a moment before, but he was preparing his mind to worship. I got the picture. However you have to do that, do it. And if you're in a habit of not doing that, then it's not going to be easy. Because even though I'm talking about it right now, it will be easy for you to be thinking about something else, somewhere else. There's so many things you could be thinking about. Where are we going to go to eat? Who's going to win the game? Wasn't that a great game yesterday? Well, for one team. So you can wander all over creation with your mind. Okay, now come back. Get off the game. Okay. With our mouth, our lips, we can praise Him. But where's our heart? Where is your heart? You have to focus. You have to know why you are here. Remember what you're here for. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, Colossians 3:21 says. Work at it with all your heart, with all your might. That's you, examining yourself. And will this lesson go in one ear and out the other? There's got to be something in between to hold it and to remember. And then tonight, and tomorrow, and next Sunday, the Lord willing, how will you do? Will you be here to worship God? And remember, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. David said in Psalm 139, where can I go? You can't get away from God. Jonah tried to run from God. God said, I don't care how high, you can build your city in the nest of the eagles. I'm there. You can't go so far underground that God's not there. Like those miners a few days ago. Wow, God is there. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I can't know what you're thinking, you can't know what I'm thinking, but God can. Every one of us in this building, everyone in this earth, is that power? When we say Almighty God, He knows whether I'm a hypocrite or not. Whether I, as Jesus said in John 4:24, worship Him in spirit and in truth. A lot of people claim to be worshiping God today. Just down the street, church buildings this way, that way, this way, that way. If you live very far from a building, you pass several, didn't you? Claim to be worshiping God. Are they? In spirit and in truth? And when we show where their error is, they don't like it, do they? But when somebody shows you where your error is, how do you do? Can I accept it or will I reject it? Joshua said, verse 14 of chapter 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And if it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose you, there's you again, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, you can serve the gods that your fathers worship before the flood, or the gods in whose land you now dwell. But what's the little plaque say? That is for me and my house. Determination, discipline is what it takes. In the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, God gave specific instructions as to the animals that they were to sacrifice. Oh, there's one, he's blind and he's on one leg there and he's about dead. I'll take him. Would you offer that to God? Malachi says you are. They were. He said, have your governor over for dinner and serve him what you're serving me. Would you like to invite somebody over and tell them, we got some cheese here. It's green and spotted like it. Put this on your sandwich. Would you do that? No. God said, that's what you're offering me. That's what you're offering me. The God that has gotten you where you are in this promised land And this is how you serve me. And I need to recognize, how am I doing? The reason I got this lesson, because I sat in a lot of pews like you before I started preaching. And I figured that, well, as Stan said, kind of be normal this morning, that maybe you have the same difficulties that I had. Whether we're going to pay attention, going to be focused as what we're doing, and if we're going to honor God in our worship and in our service. What if I, as we mentioned, a birthday party, what if I came to your birthday party, I didn't bring a present, and you could tell, I don't want to be there. And I ate a piece of cake, but I don't like the cake. Here it is. When it comes time to sing happy birthday to you, would you be glad I was there? He didn't want to be there. Why did he even come? I see that during invitation songs. Service is about over, you know, and people are getting, especially in the winter at home, zipping up coats and tying and getting, because on your mark, get set, amen, we're gone. Can't wait to get out of here. And I've come to worship God. Really? Did I? Did I? And I don't want to be an old troll under the bridge, and if you remember the story. But I want us to wake up to where we can be. It's like going to the stall. You know, I'm here. I'm looking at you, Stan. Don't hear a word that you're saying, but I'm here. So don't count me absent. We're used to things that are in a hurry, aren't we? I find myself at home patting my foot before the microwave. Come on. What's taking you so long? We have a five-way stop light at home. And I'll always get there when somebody's in every lane, you know, so I'm going to have to wait for every light. Hurry, hurry. We have the little stores, grab it and go. Get her here, you know. And the expression, get her done. You know, we got to have it now. Instant eggs, instant milk, instant taters, instant. We got to have it. And waiting is out of the question. So let's shrink our service. Careful, be careful. We've become desensitized as to what is going on. And our worship has become casual and leisure. I want to tell you folks, the next generation will take it farther. Just a warning. You think there will not be shorts in the service to God? One lady in California wore her spandex. 70 years old. Like to have an 8x10 glossy of that. No, I don't take that back. She said, nobody's going to tell me how to dress. What? Elders' daughters wearing dresses that are backless come down to here to worship God. And then the bottom of the dress, come no farther than this. It's not going to get better if we don't get strict. Denominational lady, one of our members was studying with a lady from the Christian church. And this lady from the Christian church was talking to another Nazarene member. And the Nazarene member said, don't take your kids to the Church of Christ. Why? They're too strict. Well, we're making inroads. And anybody that wants to worship God, I think that that's where they want to go. Now, if we are too strict, we've gone trying to stand up so straight, we're bending over backwards, then yes, that's too strict. Too strict. But if we're clinging to this and saying, God, what pleases you? That's what I want to do. That's how I want to dress. This is where I want to be. This is where my heart is. I am focused on you. I don't want, as Jesus said in verse 9 of Matthew 15, but in vain they do worship me. I don't want my worship to be in vain to you. You made the determination to get up this morning, even with the extra hour of sleep. When Stan and I were talking, we could do that every night, couldn't we? Just turn back the night for tomorrow. Yay, I like that. But you made the determination. You said, I've got to do that. I've got to be here. Now, why are you here? A few years ago, we had leisure suits. We had, thankfully, they're gone, by the way, we have leisure time, and it's infected our worship, leisure worship. And I've been to denominations where are we? If you woke up and you didn't know where you were, you wouldn't know where you were. Worshiping God, it's all leisure. People taking coffee into the Bible classes, because they just walked out of the fellowship hall, they go get their coffee and their donuts. And walked out. No eating in the sanctuary, but they'd bring your coffee into the Bible class. It's not going to stop there. We're swinging the pendulum if we're not careful. So, just some warning signs, and a dress code. I'm not here to say. I think God has a dress code, and we could talk about that for a long time. But I'm here to try to please God, not to be in the fashion with men. Don't be conformed, Paul says, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's where it starts. You get your mind right, and everything else will fall in place. We talked about time, getting in a hurry. I've noticed at home we don't sing One Blessed Hour anymore. That's too long. Too long. But hey, the grace is too long. 40 minutes? Okay. You know, somebody said, you know, your mind can only grasp what your seat can endure. Okay, ladies, when the football game comes on, 20 minutes, they said, just get the remote, 20 minutes, honey. TV goes off, because, you know, your little brain can't endure all that. Is that how it works with TV? How about with Sudoku? How do you pronounce that? That number game? My wife does that all the time. Or the crossword puzzles? 20 minutes, nope, gotta stop. How about driving? I can only drive for 20 minutes and I gotta take a break? Huh? But in worship, boy, that works in worship, 20 minutes. Gotta be through. Doesn't sound good at the Golden Corral, doesn't sound good at the ball game. Even if it's snowing and windy, you're going to sit there. Hmm. How about that fellow that prays too long? Okay, get back to our worship. And our giving. I said, don't talk about giving. That's a touchy spot. No, there's some touchy Christians. Not a touchy spot. The Lord says we are to give cheerfully. And that's where we get our word hilarious. Where we get our word. You know, there's some jokes that are funny, and then there are some knee slapping hilarious. Our giving ought to be cheerful. Not, oh, there goes my bulk payment. Oh, or I could get some more clubs if I had. Oh, is that a way to give? That's not exactly cheerful, is it? And somebody who doesn't give cheerfully is not going to give as they prosper either. What if God prospered you the way you give? Uh-oh. I brought home $22 this week. Because that's how I give. Is that the way it would be? Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 beheld how the people gave, sitting by the treasure. Had a basket there. And you know, we used to do that. That's how it wasn't brought to us. Everybody came up to the table and dropped it in a line. Just jump on. That's how it was done. And the Lord was sitting there watching. Who gave the most? He said. Poor widow, two mites, all that she had. Jesus said, well, Paul quotes him in Acts 20, what, 35? More blessed of what? You know what it says. More blessed to give than receive. And boy, I like that when the giving is coming to Mo. I love you giving when it's coming my way. Have we ever tried it? More blessed to give than receive. And it's not only of your finances, of your wallet. But giving of your time as well. Giving cheerfully. Giving as we have prospered. Doing all that we can. Are we too materialistic? I know the problem is there. I have that too. Gotta have. Oh man, look at that. Oh, when I was a kid, I was the same way. Gotta have a Swin bicycle. Didn't want one of those cheap imitations. Gotta have the biggest, the best. And spend money. But when it comes to giving, I don't think so. How am I doing? We have new houses, new cars, new clothes, new toys. And that's for grown-ups too, but they're just toys are bigger, is what they tell us, isn't it? Somebody said the difference in price and place. Worked with a lady at Caterpillar Tractor before I started preaching. And she said, we would have Bible discussions, and she said, I gave $150 last year. Wow, $150 last year. Let's see, divide 52 into 115. And she was making big bucks, secretary of one of the big officers. $3, less than $3 a week. And she was proud of it. How are you doing? Just asking you. Just saying. And those who don't give as they prosper, I'll tell you what else they don't do. They don't study and they don't pray. You give as you prosper. You want to get out of what you put into something. Speaking of praying, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, pray not to worry. How you doing? How you doing? You know somebody that worries as a hand wringer? Oh, the economy. Oh, we're going to be invaded. Oh, we're just, the news is so bad. Oh. Peter says, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. A hand wringer is saying, God, I really don't trust you. I don't think you can help. I think you've done a pretty good job so far. You're going to have problems? The devil's going to make sure of that. Not God's fault. God's fault. Paul said, Philippians 4 and verse 6, pray, don't worry. This morning, thank you, God. Thankful that we have food to eat, clothes to wear, air to breathe. Able to feed myself, dress myself. Everybody can't do that. I ought to be thankful. When it comes time to pray and worship, is it time to rest? Or do we listen to the prayer leader? He's going to lead us in prayer. You are to follow him in his prayer. Not a time to sleep. Prayer leaders, we need to pray. That's why we come up here, or pray loudly enough so we can be heard. Not to be seen of men, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Not to be heard of men, verse 7. For I have my reward if I do that. Make sure your prayer is not memorized. Where we grew up in Peoria, we had a man who prayed the same prayer every time. My brother and I could quote it. One time, halfway through his prayer, he got strangled. Couldn't remember where it was. I start over. There's so much to pray, Lord. Pray every day. It's like housework. It's obvious when you do it and when you don't. Or schoolwork. Can the teachers tell, I don't think Mo did his homework last night. To help God. Sure. Pray more. Pray everywhere. You know, you pray while you're driving. I mean, be careful. It's like texting, but be careful. Don't close your eyes. I mean, just thank you, God, for this beautiful day. How about that? Is that long enough prayer? Do you reckon God heard that? Yes, he did. I remember sitting at a table with about 30-some preachers.
Brother Bill Lewis, big fellow.
He'd been preaching since the flood, and they asked him to lead the prayer, and I remember thinking, man, we're going to hear a prayer now. You know what he said? Dear Lord, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, time out. That wasn't long enough. He didn't hear that. He prayed for what he was to pray for. Some at the Lord's table. Pray for everything, but oops. That's all you have to do. All you have to do. Prayer. Simple. And you don't have to climb Mount Everest to get God's attention. You can bow your head. You don't have to bow your head. You can show humility. When I was growing up, older fellows, get out on the aisle, put your heads down and pray. Bowing before God. And again, if I'm not doing it to be seen of men, be careful with that. Make certain it is reverent. Several years ago, a fellow began his prayer with, "Hi, Dad. I'm getting out of there." Remember what happened to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? And what numbers?
16.
The earth opened up. Nadab and Abihu showing irreverence to God. You don't begin your prayer that way. Jesus said, here's how. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the one to whom we pray. And we partake of the Lord's Supper here in just a few moments. Where would your mind be? We sing a song that we say, this is to help us prepare our minds. Does it? Are you in the rut? What song? Are you thinking about the words of the song? And if you don't think about the words in other songs, you won't be thinking about the song that's helping to prepare your mind. Did you follow that? If you're singing, standing on the promises, and you're just dialoguing with that, I don't even have to memorize it. I don't have to look at the book. I know that song. Are you thinking about it? And some of these songs in this book, if you don't cry, you, pardon the grammar, but you ain't paying attention. Come here to worship God. And we're not here all day. Even Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. An hour. Boom. Surely we can put the blinders on and focus. Unless the devil has you and you're worried about tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow I've got all this to do. I've got to. Then what about the Lord's Supper? Can I briefly, for a minute, remember how much he loved me? Keep your Bible open to Isaiah 53. To the end of the Gospels. Wow. And I know mothers with little ones. Or young wives with husbands sometimes. But focus. Focus. You can do it. You can do it. My dad had a fellow picked him to wait on the table. He came to church with a big t-shirt written all over it, you know. Not going to happen. You're not waiting on the Lord's table dressed like that. You look like an unmade bed. Irreverence. A young preacher a few years ago where I worked was an assistant. Had one of those belts that had the loop that hung down. What are we thinking? An example? Yeah. My father-in-law said, if you can't be an example, a good example, you can always be a bad one. Yes. And that's how some people are. And when they want to serve God, and we are here remembering what he did for me, God so loved the world that he gave, what can I give back to him? Is it how little I can give back to him? Read not only Psalm or Isaiah 53, but Psalm 22, 1 Corinthians 11. We have a lot of readers reading that. And again, I ask you, does the song before the Lord's Supper help prepare your mind? Does it? Brother Roy Cogdell told me why we started that tradition. It's because a bunch of the older men were preaching another sermon at the Lord's table. They couldn't have that. It's been about 100 years ago. So they said, let's sing a song. Instead of y'all preaching another lesson, let's sing a song. Okay. And speaking of singing, wow, can we set the clock back a little bit? It's not divine entertainment. And that's what a lot of people want today. Want entertainment in their worship, in their song. Can you sing, Does Jesus Care? Yes, you can. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When my sad heart breaks till it aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Is it anything to him? Does he see? And what do we sing in the chorus? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. We ought to sing that with punch. Not, you can't sing that way. With the spirit and the understanding. What if the song leader sang like you sing? Head down, singing to the floor. Softly, so nobody can hear you. Are you teaching and admonishing? Oh, Brother Haverly, I don't have a good singing voice. Well, neither do I. That's why I sit on the second row at home. I can just sing my heart out. Not here to impress, no. No, I miss singing. I can't wait till we start. Can't wait till we start. Song leaders, you be the leader. You're the leader. We have a song leader. Gets up 162. What? He needs to be the leader. And the army, does the leader say, charge? Huh? No. Has to be the leader and take off. That's what we had last night. Jack, where are you? Okay. We have to have a leader. Leader's follow. People follow the leader. And singing songs this morning. One song you don't sing, what is, oh, why not tonight? Johnny Edwards was, you know, Johnny up in Indiana, preaches about 25 minutes. And the song leader said, sang the song, I shall not be moved for the invitation song. Wrong song. Wrong song to sing. Then I say, last of all, the preaching. Preachers have a responsibility, don't we? We could get up here and just read the lesson to you, and just bore you to death, and then do it. Huh? Don't you like a salesman who's interested in his product? You don't want to buy this, do you? No, you're right. We're excited about what we're talking about. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not by foolish preaching, which a lot of that is done today. You can hear that Joyce, what's her name? That woman preacher on TV, marching back and forth. A lot of foolish preaching. And who's that young fella who swept the world, has a big auditorium, 20,000 people there every Sunday. Joel Osteen, yes. Oh, entertaining, yes, sir, gotcha. Preaching the truth. Oh, he may throw some like Billy Graham. Truth in. Not by foolish preaching. Peter said, Acts 2:14, hearken to my words. Hearken to my words. Verse 22, he said, hear these words. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra spoke so the people could hear and so they could understand. You be the best listener you can be. I'm going to be the best listener in the audience. I'm going to be the best. And you know what will happen? You'll find you're wondering. Come back. Snap to attention. Bring yourself back. Concentrate. Yes, the devil wants you out here. La la land. But bring yourself back. Bring yourself back. Sit where you can listen. One lady said, where I sit, Brother Haverly, the people are just distracting me all the time. Let's see, what are we going to do? I said, you ever think about moving? Oh. And preferably forward. Get it behind you. Distractions are gone. You'd be surprised. I've come in late to gospel meetings and have to sit in the back. Well, usually those seats are taken as far back as I could. And distracting, yes, it is. You know, you all know that, don't you? One lady said, "How do you preach with all the distractions? Getting up, going back, going back, going back." Well, you just have to focus. You have the message to preach. And when somebody gets up, I don't.
There you go.
And when they come back, and a mother with a baby, do you need eyes on you? We had a fellow in Indiana that sat right here. He could hear when somebody here got up out of the chair. He had to see who it was. On the farm in Kentucky, we call that goosenecking. And now you think he didn't draw attention? Yes. You look, that causes somebody else to look. I have felt like sometimes. Come now. I get your attention? Okay. And sometime this week I may say, "Listen. Listen." One preacher, he said, he finds people just honoring God. He said, "I'll draw a circle on the board. That's a warning. Next time I'll put your initials." Warning shot with a circle, and then everybody's going to know who M.H. is. I wonder who that is. No. Got to figure it out. Oh, there's two of them. Two images. Oh, okay. All right. Be the best listener you can be. And you can't do that while you're asleep, can you? We've made it so comfortable at home, we have padded backs. You know what's next? Lazy boy pews. I'm going to have a pass. That's where we're headed. Be careful how you listen. Take notes. If you have trouble paying attention, keep your Bible open. Study, focus. The classes that I love, one of them in school. Great teacher. Love the class. Enjoy it. Try to be the best listener you can be, because you're the one on stage, not God. Okay? And you are here to worship God. And please don't try babysitting from three rows behind. That's hard to do, to preach while somebody's making eyes at a baby. You know, or poking somebody. And I guarantee you, when you're doing that, the people behind you see you doing that. And they're watching too. See, we're not here to distract. We are here to worship and to serve God. What kind of a worshiper are you? As we sing, as we pray, as we give, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, do we show more respect at a funeral than we do in our service to God? And if you've noticed, even at funerals, it's disturbing. We have a funeral home just a couple of blocks from our house. And I see people going in the funeral home dressed like, what? The preachers, we have a responsibility. We are preaching the Word of God. Must do that. Must do it, whether people like it or whether they don't like it. We had a couple leave of the congregation a while ago. And they said it's too negative. Too negative. Always negative preaching. Well, I went back through the sermons and tried to see. As good as I am, don't talk to Judy. I can do that. So I examined my lessons. And I asked Judy about it. I asked others, is that the truth? I want to know if I'm just constantly negative, negative. And I remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. For 3 years, he said, preach night and day. Warning. Warning. Just like we do our children. Did you warn them about knives? Sharp. Even a safety razor, that will cut you. I know, reaching down into a little bag and whoa, it'll cut you. Hot stove, did you warn him? Gasoline and matches, do not play. Do not play. Warning constantly, over and over. I found a book of matches as a little boy, about this tall. A brand new book of matches. And my granddaddy had taught me how to strike hold of a match, you know, and strike hold of it and then let go. Got to the last match. Went across that little rough place on the book. And that last match lit. And the head was on my finger. It lit. I still remember. And it left me a little red dot there for 21 years. You think every time I looked at that little red dot, what's that there for? What is that old expression? You play with fire. I learned it the easy way. Some learn it the hard way. And a lesson like this is to learn the easy way. And if you've been doing something for years, I used to bite my fingernail back down to here. Hard habit to break. You ever had something you were addicted to? You have to be concentrating to get over, get it out. You'll find yourself wondering, come back. And then you'll find yourself listening longer. As you get with it, the idea of worshiping God, what kind of a worshiper are you? God knows. God knows. And He cares. God showed us how much He cares. Remember, Connie Adams said he was preaching an expressway in Louisville, Kentucky. And he said, it was our week to clean the building. And he said, I found a note in one of the book racks, I think it was. He said, I opened it and read it. He said, when he's through preaching, we're all going to Shoney's. When he's through preaching, what does that imply? He's still preaching. Here's somebody. Where's their mind? On their stomach. And not only did he take one person with him himself, he had to give it somebody else. At least one. So when you're a distraction, you usually take somebody with you. As we said about with babies and babysitting, mothers don't need your help, please. Okay, if they turn that baby over to perfect, they don't need you making faces or getting everybody else's attention. And I know they're cute. They are the cute. Bounce back. Get off of the baby and back to what you're here for. Okay. Whatever part of worship we are in, and sometimes things are going to happen. There are going to be distractions. Somebody's going to drop a book. Somebody's going to bump their head. Little baby. Going to make a noise. Going to be some crying. And again, when the mother has to take the baby out for whatever reason, eyes front. I never had to take our children out because Judy always had them. I was up front. And you don't need them. Distractions. Ladies, isn't that the truth? You feel somebody looking at you all the way back? Don't need that. Don't do that. Just a little warning lesson on how to worship God. Whatever part of our service we are in, dedicate yourself to the singing. Can you do that? Examine yourself. As we pray, are we hearing what the... Can we say amen to what he just said? What if he prayed something that wasn't right? Okay. Or, as we listen to the preacher, what if he said something that's wrong? You have a responsibility to do that. And Stan would want you to do that. Not just say, well, Brother Cox, you know, we love him. He wouldn't teach us that. And he doesn't want to. But if you think that he missed the mark, and I don't mean, well, you misquoted a a passage or something, or told us it was in Matthew when it was in Luke, and how many of us have done that? Don't change that. And Judy does that with my charts on PowerPoint. Mistake. But that's not exactly all we're talking about, but you be the best in whatever part of our service we enter. Singing, praying, as we mentioned. Giving as we have prospered. About 50 years ago, they took a census. More like 60 years ago now. And they found Churches of Christ were the fastest growing church in the United States. You really believe that? Back around 1950. You know where we were in giving? 30th. 30th. Of all the denominations, they're out giving us 30 denominations, 29 were giving more than what we do. God's own people. He had that problem since the beginning. Not giving us, we're prospered because it becomes mine. And we may become little Ananias and Sapphiras and not give as we've been prospering. Not listening. Just for the few moments that we are here, as we said, we're not here forever. You know that. And we've made it, or the elders here have made it as comfortable for you. You can work on the backs later. Whatever you want to do. Just make sure that we have come to worship God, that we're doing all that we can, as we can, as we can. And since we have a moment, I'll just let that one go. All right. Thank you for your attention.